Welcome along. I'm Sean Savage. This is Earshot Daily, electronic edition. This time around, I have music for you from Charlotte Day Wilson, Crimson, and Caribou. Kicking things off, this is Bon Iver with 8.
Philosophize and figure what I have in heaven hell. You called, not came, stay tall through it all. Falling fixture, just the same thing. No, what on earth is left to come? Who's agonizing all through it all? I'm underneath your tongue.
Canada's Music, Earshot Daily.
Hawaiian shirt and chase it down out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. Oh yeah.
way music was meant to be. Earshot Daily.
Let's play a game.
I'm Sean Savage. This is the Earshot Daily. Thanks for listening. Follow me on all socials. My handle is The Mix Sessions. Let me know what you think of the show. That was Canadian trip hop group Groove Collective, that's G-R-U-V-E Collective, with their debut single, Hopeless Hope. Up next, this is Caribou with Our Love.
You're listening to music from Canada's premier indie music source, Earshot's digital distribution system.
Thank you.
Canada's Music, Earshot Daily.
Savage, you're listening to the Earshot Daily. Unfortunately, that's all the time I have for this edition of the show. This is Charlotte Day Wilson with Find You. Until next time.
Listen up, Canada. This is your show on your station, Canada's Earshot Daily.
5 o'clock. I'm falling on. Early morning. Late night, missing you. Call your phone. Call your phone. You're talking slow. Talking slow, my body yearns, my body yearns.
listening to Earshot Daily. For more information, visit earshot-distro.ca.
Hi, everyone. I'm Genevieve Hinch, and you're listening to the Kingston Curator. This is the show that keeps you connected with everything happening across Kingston's art, music, culture, and community scene. Whether you're looking for your next concert, wanting to discover local artists, or just trying to stay in the loop with what's going on around the city, this is definitely the place for you. All right. Well, hello, everyone. And before we dive into today's conversation, I'd like to welcome my guest, Bruce Kaufman. He is one of the organizers behind Kingston Art Fest and a long-running celebration of local art, creativity, and community. And so for the past 11 years, he's been the lead for the festival's outdoor poetry gathering, which brings together dozens of poets from Kingston and across Ontario for a weekend of live readings and connections. And yeah, Kingston Art Fest wrapped up just last weekend. So today we are looking back on this year's festival a little bit, how it all came together and what's helped it become such a beloved part of Kingston's art scene. And yeah, thank you so much for joining me today, Bruce. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Thanks for inviting me. I'm very happy to be here.
Nice.
One thing I might just clarify is that Kingston Arts Festival is a huge artist festival. They incorporate different things. One of the thing that they allowed back in 2015, I don't know if allowed's the right word, but is for me, I petitioned them to add the poetry festival. So it is separate. I really don't have anything to do with anything else.
Okay.
With Art Fest Kingston, but right. I do have the kind of runs in tandem and with it. It's a part of Art Fest Kingston, but I just didn't want to take credit for something that I really shouldn't.
So. Understandable. So would you say the two kind of coincide together?
They definitely. I mean, it all started back in 2013. I used to do things with music, just minor things with music. So I knew a few groups. And when the organizer then, the art director then, wanted to incorporate a whole bunch of music acts and wasn't from Kingston, so didn't have any long contacts, I helped organize that.
Mm-hmm.
In that process, one of the people who has had she is an art teacher. I was an art teacher in the public schools, but also a wonderful artist and member of the artist community. Mm-hmm. Karen Peppercorn said, "You should try to introduce poetry to this." And I said, "No, that won't work."
Yeah.
And then, but she had a tent there. So outside that tent, this is how it all started, outside that tent in 2013, she said, "Just bring, you know, a half an hour or 15 minutes of poems and read outside my tent." So I did that, and I was surprised that people actually stopped to kind of listen, as like I was just right there on the path, you know, just outside the path. And so that's kind of how Art Fest Kingston, how poets at Art Fest started back in 2015. It took a year and a half to then
Develop it
and put it together. So, I invite and organize and send a call out. So, it's
nice.
Been a wonderful experience.
Yeah, well, you saw a need in Kingston and you filled it and you matched it now. So that's incredible. And so, so you just mentioned kind of that's the inspiration to why you created this Poet Fest within Art Fest. So did you ever imagine that 11 years later it would still be going this strong?
You know what? Because it started out so very strong the first year when poets coming from Ottawa, Montreal, Toronto were interested in traveling here even for that. So because it was so strong... And every year, I mean, even the first year, it filled up. Usually in 72 hours, I can come up with, I get poets accepting that pretty much fills the slate.
Yeah.
So that happens pretty quickly. So, and that's after that happened two or three years in a row, I thought, okay, it's going to be pretty easy to just put the word out. It's very, it goes over really well. Just having poetry in the afternoon under a tent in the park is kind of a cool thing, or in the morning as well. And even this year, there was a little evening segment the first evening. So,
nice.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And so, yeah, I know you mentioned, so a lot of poets are coming down for this festival. So how do you go about selecting and inviting them? Or I know you just mentioned, yeah, you kind of put the word out and they come and gather. So what's that process like?
Well, I have just a spreadsheet that I ask for preferences, days, because it's usually 3 days. Occasionally, last year, it was actually 4 days. That happens once in a while. I ask them for their preferences, days of the week, and then I kind of create a grid, sort of, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know the poets well enough, so I know that there are some poets that know other poets that might not even be in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to pair up. Usually there are four or five poets in a session.
Right.
And then that session runs just over an hour, and then there's about 45 minutes, and then another session starts again. So I try to group poets that seem like they either know each other or they like each other's work, and so kind of work with that a little bit as well.
So do you tend to prefer, like, inviting returning poets there, or do you like getting kind of new poets, or a little bit of a mix each year?
It's kind of a mix, but I do send a week ahead. I will, and it happened again this year, I have poets that come up to me and say, hey, can I be part of this next year? So I start a list of poets for the following year.
Right.
And what I also do is, so I tell them, I will make sure you go out on a list that's about a week ahead of when I send the general call out, because I tell them the general call usually pretty much fills up in 72 hours.
Wow.
So I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you a head start.
Yeah.
But I also send that out to returning poets. If a poet has read, then I will also add them to that early call. For poets.
Nice.
Yeah. So
that's amazing. Even just it filling up in 72 hours.
Yeah. And we're talking about somewhere around between 55 and 65 poets.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just, people look forward to it.
Yeah.
Both guests and also the poets themselves have always found it seems to be they enjoy the experience. They love coming to Kingston.
Nice.
But it's about a third of the people that are from outside Kingston as a rule. And two-thirds are more local, or at least Kingston area poets.
Right.
And I'm saying Kingston area might go as far as Coburg.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And then Gananoque or even Brockville, that area. So going the other direction.
Yeah. Well, I know. Yeah. You just mentioned that a lot of poets are from Kingston and some are outside of Kingston too. So why do you think the festival has been able to attract writers from other places like Ottawa or places kind of outside of Kingston?
Sort of, I think, word of mouth. But also, once you invite a few poets from Toronto, they go, hey, I did this festival last year. You should check it out. So it kind of spreads, I think, that way.
Nice.
I do also, though, I one other thing I do is that's aside from this is I put out a weekly list of calls and events.
Oh, okay.
And so that goes out every week. So it's listed in there as the season comes around to it. But I also create a Facebook event page for it too. So that's open to, anyone to see.
Yeah.
So it kind of, that's one thing about the net. It's kind of, it opens
the
up the whole world. Yeah. Yeah.
100%. So is there any kind of particular style of poetry people usually can expect from the festival? Or is there something for everyone kind of thing with different genres? Like, what do people tend to see?
You're going to see something that is completely, every year it's going to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But you're going to see it's all the genres. And I think that's the cool thing about the festival is it exposes people to, I think some people that aren't familiar with or have shied away from poetry or afraid of even poetry don't realize how broad a spectrum that can entail. Yeah. So it covers, I've had spoken word poets, I've had a little bit of sound poetry, more traditional poetry, occasionally rhyming poetry, but a lot of it is just free verse. And so, and some of it is a lot more traditional. But some of it is more experimental. I mean, it's all over the map, really.
So are poets writing poems specifically for this festival, do you find? Or are they bringing work from just years of writing? Or is it usually a mix?
I'm guessing, it's probably a mix. There might be a few that are targeting poems specifically for this event. But a lot of poets that are coming to, and it's from beginners, very first year.
Wow.
In fact, just this past year, the very last day we had, and remind me to come back and really answer this question, but I want to do this before I forget. We had three little kind of cool things that happened.
Okay.
One was, you're probably aware of the City Ducks, right?
Yes, yes,
that
I am.
Just hang around downtown or Queens Campus or somewhere,
Yeah.
Well, they happened to come around our tent while one poet was reading about birds, too, coincidentally, but they just kind of came around and went under the table at the tent and then went back out. And then another one was this cute little small dog with a green ball in its mouth was running. I set the tent up so that people aren't looking at the back of the tent and the speaker, so it doesn't look like you're in a room.
Yeah.
I do it backwards so that the mic is out at the end of the tent, where it's all open, and then people are looking at the panorama instead of... and listening to the poetry.
That makes sense to me.
Anyway, the dog, I could see the dog running around with a green ball in its mouth, and I was kind of following it, and I could see what it was. Its game was to run up to someone, and someone would go, knowing that someone would think, oh, what a cute dog, I'm going to grab the ball and throw it for him to go fetch. His game was not to let them have the ball, just run up to them until they reached for it, then he would run off to someone else.
Yeah.
He ran up to the one poet that was reading there at the mic, and after 5 or 10 seconds, I guess, decided this person isn't going to bite. They're not going to play with me, so they're not going to play my game, so I'm going to take off. But the coolest thing was right before, I always read last at this festival. Before my reading... this young teenage girl wandered up to me and said, can I read a poem? And I thought, sure, why not? Because usually everything's booked.
Yeah.
Unless there is a scheduled open mic. And that does happen some years, but it couldn't happen this year, just time-wise. But I said, sure. So her name was Bailey. I said, do you have to go get the poem?
Yeah.
And she said, no, I have it memorized.
Oh.
It was a short rhyming poem. And anyway, so right before, people were just, nobody knew this was going to happen, right? I didn't know it was going to happen.
Yeah, on the spot. Yeah.
And so people were expecting me just to do the traditional thing and read after the next to the last, right after the next to the last poet. Anyway, I announced... that she came up and asked if she could read a poem, and her name was Bailey, and she read her poem, and everybody was so just tickled, really, just happy, and it was a good poem. It was cool,
Nice, that's incredible.
So that I think that was just kind of getting back to your question. Anything can happen at these things, at this festival. So that's what makes it. All festivals are unique in themselves, but it's something that's. This festival seems like it kind of invites that kind of thing as well, an openness.
Yeah, I love that. It's, yeah, very welcoming to others. So that's incredible. And I like what you mentioned there, what you do with the stage and how you kind of present Kingston scenery. That's a really cool, unique feature, I think, to the festival. I would have never thought to do that, but I think that really matches with the poetry feel thing. So that's a great idea.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah. And then next, so many of the poets are published authors and kind of bring their books. So how important is it for the festival to support local and independent writers?
Sorry, can you run that by me again?
Sure, no problem. So yeah, many of the poets are definitely published authors and they bring their books with them. So how important is it to you and the festival to support local and independent writers?
Oh, I think it's very important to the Poetry Festival and also to me to allow an outlet for poets. I think I started to say in answer to your last question that some are beginners and then using Bailey as like the ultimate beginner, right?
Yeah.
All the way up to very published poets. And we usually get a very nice stack of poets bringing their books.
Nice.
And I think that kind of goes back to the question, too, is not specifically writing for this festival, but also bringing their
work in.
Excuse me, published work in, to try to sell. And then what I do is during those breaks in the festival, I offer poets to not just bring them for that 40-hour and 15 minutes that they're reading and or the little bit of time before and after, they're welcome to leave their books there as long as they pick them up by the last day.
Yeah.
And I will keep a tally and then kind of and I have a float for it. And so and then because it's all cash there.
Yeah.
And then I take care of any sales that would happen throughout the festival. And that happens quite a lot. And actually this year there were, I think in general, probably maybe a few more books. A lot of published poets were coming in and bringing their books. And sales were pretty good this year, too, I think. Yeah.
What a great resource for them to have, right? And to get their work seen by the Kingston local. Yeah, that's amazing. I love that you let them leave their books there, too, even if they're not speaking. So that's great. So looking a little bit now behind the scenes of the festival, organizing event to this extent is definitely not an easy task for sure. And you do so much for this wonderful festival. So what's involved in putting together a weekend like this?
It starts in March, usually. I'll send that's about the early to mid-March, maybe closer to early March. I send that first week notice out that I'd mentioned. And then I send the call out, and then I start compiling. It's just on an Excel spreadsheet.
Right.
I start compiling poets. I ask in that call that they send me their availability, their best times. And I say, send me two or three dates and times or something or general things. Or I love it when occasionally I say, if you're completely available, just let me know that, because that really helps schedule. And if I mean, those are the last people you're going to schedule, but you know you've got that buffer sort of that you can fill in certain. And there isn't really, I wouldn't say there's a bad time or a best time. So it's not something like that, that somebody's sacrificing because they're saying I'm completely available, that they're going to get stuck in a bad time. I don't think that's should ever be a consideration.
Right.
So, but anyway, there's that. And then what I try to do after I get it maybe on paper, 75% or 80% filled up, I'll start then forming groups. And every year it's a little bit different too. This year I want to include as many, there are always people that want to read that there just isn't room for.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for that. So I try to create, I try different variations of time frames.
Yeah.
Ideally, I think it's best if the sessions were an hour.
Okay.
And then the breaks were an hour because that allows other people, that allows people to come in, set up any books that they might have, chat with people who may have come to see them. And then also when the next group comes in, those people in that session to gradually and continue to chat with people. Mm-hmm. But then the new people are bringing their books in. So it gets, you know, it gets not hectic, but it just gets busy enough, you know, and but it's perfect. Yeah, I think an hour allows that the best. I've cut it to 45 minutes this time because I added 15 minutes to the reading session. So I can get five poets in a reading session instead of just four at about 12 to 13 minutes each.
Right.
Okay. And so that works pretty well. But anyway, I set up that schedule. And then when I try to honor first choice, I think everybody, I think that over 90% of the people get their first choice.
Nice.
It just works out that way. Yeah. Because it's spread out over 3 days and they don't just have one time, right? So, but if not, at least their second choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I put together a schedule. I send that out to them and just ask them to, as quickly as they can, kind of confirm that will work for them. After that, I send out, after I get the schedule, I send out a more like the edited and complete schedule just for their reference.
Yeah.
One last chance for them to get back with me in case I made a mistake or in case something had changed in their lives that time might not work for them now. But also then I request their bios. So I want to have all their bios ahead of time. So I'm not that first year I had them scribble their bios out on a piece of paper. There I was trying to decipher a whole bunch of people's different penmanship. And I want to have it printed out. Yeah, and
nice and clear.
So I put together an artist bio for all of the poets then.
Nice.
And then I also send out then a confirmation sort of with kind of what the guidelines are for the festival.
Yeah.
It's as we already mentioned, you know, pretty much anything is open.
Yeah.
There are two things that I don't allow, and I don't like to edit poets.
Yeah.
But just because it's a family festival, I say keep the language. You can, any sort of real, for the most part, any sort of topic is okay, but keep the language like PG or something like that. Just because you never know when a little kid's going to walk around the tent, you know?
Yeah.
The other thing I just don't like at that festival is erotica. So I said no erotica, no F-bombs, you know, no. So they have the guidelines then, and everybody's had a chance to go through them. And then I touch base with them probably once or twice more between then and the festival starting. And I also start a wait list because that's how life is. Things happen. We had about four people this year that couldn't. Either because of injury or an emergency in the family or something else happened that they could not. So then I can go to the wait list.
Nice. Yeah.
And give a few more people a chance to take part if they can take that particular – at that point they can choose. You know, I don't ask for their availability because it's irrelevant, right?
Yeah.
I've got this one spot. So, yeah. That's kind of what's behind the scene. I set up the tent on, don't have much to do there, scatter out some chairs, like very minimal signage to put up, set up the tables for the books, and
get it going. And is there an age restriction for this? Or
No, I've had... Well, had Bailey's, 13.
Yeah.
True. But I've also had some other high school poets, too, that have read there as well.
Their stuff.
I also host a monthly open mic at the Cafe, so a lot of poets come through or have gone through that from time, you know, at one time or another when they were here, so that a lot of those people are the people that I invite when I send the call for submissions out.
That's amazing.
So, and there's a group of, I don't think we have any high school. We have had high school people at the open mic in the past. Right now, I don't think we do, but we've had, we do have still some university students that come.
Great.
So
yeah.
We do have that as well. So,
amazing.
So that age range, and then I'm pretty old, but even older than me. So there you go.
Yeah, wow, such a wide
kind of
range.
Covers it, which is cool too, because
all generations.
Then all generations, all different perspectives, all different experiences, life experiences. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool. Yeah.
You're getting truly a bit of everything.
Yeah.
This festival.
Yeah.
I love that. So yeah, wrapping things up a little bit. You just had the festival last weekend. How'd it go?
It was incredible.
Yeah.
We had, I'm guessing maybe, I know exactly, I wrote it down, the number of people that attended the sessions was 386 through the tent. And I'm guessing there were probably, you know, I never really counted them, but at least another 40 or 50 that were passers-by that weren't just passing by, but they actually, like, came into the tent or looked at the book.
Nice.
Or looked through the table of books or through the author bios or something. So, you know, close to, let's just say close to 450 altogether.
Wow.
So, which is kind of what it always runs every year in that, in that ballpark.
Yeah. Well, still a great turnout.
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah. And people just, wonderful crowds, wonderful
great.
Poetry. It was just an incredible experience again this year.
Yeah.
This was our 12th reading, started in 2015.
And it's still growing. That's amazing.
Yeah,
was there anything like a memorable moment? I know you mentioned Bailey. It was one of them. Maybe another one you want to bring up, or a favorite reading you had, maybe?
It's like I've got 60 people looking at me, and I go, yeah, I'll pick you. You know, I really can't. I wouldn't even want to do that. It was just the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Was just so incredible.
Wow.
But those little three things that were just a little bit different that I mentioned with the dog and the ducks
year.
And Bailey.
Yeah.
That was those are the things that will stick too. Yeah. So that made it memorable.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
In a different direction.
Yeah. Something a little new for this year's festival.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing. And then, kind of looking ahead a little bit before we end this episode. What are things looking like for next year? I don't know when you start planning for that, but do you have any ideas for next year starting yet?
I'm not sure what next year is going to bring as far as, because we were actually it's seemingly a week earlier this year, because usually the festival covers July 1st.
Right.
July 1st is in a weird spot this year, so they had it a week, seemingly a week early. It wasn't. It was just a few days early, but it, you know, just seemed like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the dates are going to be for next year, because I think, as I understand it, next year it falls on a Tuesday. Is that right?
Canada Day?
Canada Day. I think it goes back. It goes that way, right? Doesn't it? The next year?
Maybe.
Anyway, whether it's a Thursday or a Tuesday, either way, it could make it a four-day weekend again next year. But I don't know how the festival organizers are going to set that up. And that decision probably won't be made until late this fall or maybe even early winter, when they start sending out their calls for artisans to pitch their tents and their artwork there. So I don't know. That will that will make a difference in how it's set up again. I'll have to reevaluate. And if it's 4 days again, last year when it was 4 days, there were two open mics. Because I was able to accommodate, I felt, a lot of poets. Yeah. There was 60-some last year as well. Accommodate all the poets, but still have it open so that for two sessions, so for two almost hour sessions, I could just invite anybody in the park that wanted to share poetry to sign up and share poetry. And I got a lot of response and met some really incredible poets. And a lot of those were student age. Mm-hmm. As well. So so that will make a difference with how I set it up next year. But it's just a matter of just finding a formula that seems to work well. The nice thing is, like I said, it's everybody looks forward to it. It's not like I have to, pull nails or something like that to get people. It's actually kind of easy to organize. You wouldn't believe that. It just kind of develops, you know. And especially with that Excel sheet formula, that seems to kind of bracket things a little bit, or at least makes it easy so I can kind of see exactly what I've got and then try to put different scenarios together.
Well, that's wonderful.
So that's what I'm looking forward to again, and that will probably be like right after right before the first of the year. I'll start, or as soon as I know how many days at least it's going to be.
And the process begins again.
And so after, kind of like, the old saying, you never forget how to ride a bike or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It comes around and you're going, been there, got the t-shirt kind of thing. Yeah. I can just start this process over again.
Yeah,
so,
nice. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Oh, my-